The Starting Lineup with Tyler Ivins and Will West on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Hour number three of the Starting Lineup. It's back on your radio, 99.1, The Sports Animal. Also online at 991thesportsanimal.com. Highly encourage you to stop by the website, anything that you have missed.
And we've lost Ivins yet again. So there we go. Going pretty well.
He was
going
to say anything you miss. 991thesportsanimal.com, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, WNML app, powered by Big Kahuna Wings.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you work for a cable or internet company and you would like to give me your service, because clearly the crap I have is awful. So if you know somebody who works for an internet company, let me know. No, dude, I spend $300 a month on TV and cable and internet. Ugh. And dude, I am the guy in the commercial sitting in the tub, Occupado Tom. I'm telling you right now, I don't have enough quarters left in my pocket to keep pumping into this internet right now, so I'll just leave it at that. And just to show you how fired up I am, you might want to pick me, because my clues, whatever game we're about to play, could benefit you in picking up a W. Kaner, that being said, before my internet drops for a 12th time, can we please play the game?
I kind of hope it does drop again, low-key.
Now, this is really, if you're a quality salesperson, this is a good chance to make some cash off of old Ivins.
Like, I don't even have my table tennis betting app up right now. That's like that. Like, I have nothing up right now that should prevent me from doing radio.
Yeah,
Will, it's Who Am I?
It is Who Am I on the game. Here's how Who Am I will work. You get up to 5 clues to guess who we are talking about each and every single time we play Who Am I. 656-9900. That's your phone number. We need 2 contestants right now. M. Lilly Mattresses. Best mattresses in the world. M. Lilly Mattress is the mattress provider for Manchester United, the most valuable sports franchise in the entire world. And we're talking about a free $40 Harmony pillow from M. Lilly Mattress. This pillow is legit. It's a fantastic pillow. I have one. I sleep on this bad boy. It is just fantastic. The old Stuart Scott line, Tyler, cool as the other side of the pillow. Doesn't have to apply here, because this pillow's always cool, and you can get one free right now by playing the game with M. Lilly Mattresses. What is our topic today for Who Am I, Ivins?
Well, seeing that the Vols take on South Carolina this weekend in Columbia, what we should do and what we are going to do, former VFLs from the state of South Carolina.
Former Tennessee players from the state of South Carolina, 656-9900. You want to get on board with us and play? You've got an opportunity to play the game right now on TSL.
Who are contestants, Kaner?
We got Chase and Billy.
Chase and Billy.
Hey, Chase, you get to decide, man. Do you want your clues from Tyler or from Will? Good morning.
I'll take Will.
All right. Let's get this W, Chase. You ready for it, man?
Yes, sir.
All right, and again, your category is former Tennessee football players from the state of South Carolina. Clue number one, I was born in Rock Hill, South Carolina in 1991.
Jonathan Crotman?
You know what? Good on you for that's how you play it. Throw out the guesses. That's not the right one, but keep doing it like that. Clue number two, I was a JUCO transfer who played just 1 year at Tennessee. Clue number three.
I don't know.
In the NFL, I played with the Vikings, the Raiders, the Patriots, and currently the Bears. Rock Hill, South Carolina, about 29 years of age. JUCO transfer, Vikings, Raiders, Patriots, and currently a member of the Chicago Bears. Clue number four, I'm a 3-time Pro Bowler and 3-time All-Pro as a kick returner, not as a wide receiver.
Hey, Chase, he might own the NFL record for the longest kickoff return in history.
Cordarrelle Patterson?
It is Cordarrelle Patterson. Hang on the line, Chase. Four.
Right,
that's
Chase.
The number you're trying to beat with Ivins, Billy.
Billy, good morning, man. Hopefully you and I can stay on long enough where I can get you a W. Let's get started, sir. Here's your first clue. I was born June 17th, 1981.
And we lost Ivins yet again. Billy, how many fingers am I holding up? That's your guess.
Four.
Well, it was answered 2-2, so actually that is correct. So congratulations there. We'll get Ivins back on and get him to log back in.
He'll be back.
Billy.
There he is.
Hey, there we go.
Guys, I'm about to chuck this sucker out the window, but not before Billy gets a W. Hey, Billy, I was born June 17th, 1981 in Hartsville, South Carolina.
Albert Hainsworth.
Oh, you got to be kidding me. Yep, there it is.
Nice job. That's knowing your balls there, Billy. Congratulations. Billy gets the win. Chase, you played darn well. Billy just walked in and just crushed the first pitch out of the park.
You know what Billy did? Billy's like, obviously going to be on long enough for me to hear you say this. I might as well get it right in the first clue.
I ain't getting a second one. You know what I mean? So,
M. Lilly. Hey, Billy, you're going to enjoy every bit of this Harmony pillow that's going to be coming from M. Lilly. Will, you want to tell him where M. Lilly is before I kick my computer through the wall?
Yeah, remember, the U.S. headquarters for M. Lilly Mattresses is right here in Knoxville in the Farragut location, the Farragut store. You can stop by and check out their bedding products there or at other fine bedding retailers as well. M. Lilly Mattresses, located in the Village Green Shopping Center. That is M. Lilly Mattresses.
All right, 656-9900, 1-866-656-9900. It's turned into a comedy act. It really is.
It really kind of is at this point.
I mean,
it's a guy you're going to play into now.
Dude, no, I just spent $109 on Friday for the company that has my internet provider to come out and be like, well, Mr. Ivins, I think it looks good on my end. No, it doesn't. I can promise you that, Harold. It doesn't. So I hope Harold listens to the program
today
because he's
going
to be coming to my No, I'm not. I'm just saying either I've got a bug in my computer or Eric Kane is really screwing me back in the studio, and I don't think it's Eric Kane screwing me back in the studio. So I'm going to politely get us through the next 50 minutes of radio, and then I'm going to be on the call of a certain three-letter company that gives me my internet, and I guarantee you they're going to give me some answers before tomorrow's program. I bet you that. We're back on the other side. We're going to bring you, is it just me? Because I got a question for you. If there's any time you might want to expand the college football playoff for at least 1 year, it's got to be during 2020, right? It has to be, right? 99.1, you're listening to the Sports Animal. Stay close.
This is a Tennessee Education Lottery Sports Minute.
Bryson DeChambeau shot a 3-under-67 par in round four, cruising to a U.S. Open win at 6-under on the tournament. DeChambeau was the lone player to shoot under par for the tournament. It was DeChambeau's first major win. The Lakers go up 2-0 in the Western Conference Finals, following a 105-103 win over the Nuggets last night. LeBron James finished the game with 26 points and 11 rebounds. Ryan Tannehill threw for four scores. Stephen Gostkowski drilled the game winner 49 yards away as the Titans approved the 2-0 for the first time since 2008 with a 33-30 win over the Jaguars. Here's Mike Key.
Throws into the end zone. Ball is caught. Touchdown, Titans. Adam Humphries. That's four on the day for Ryan Tannehill.
Sunday Night Football saw the Seahawks make a goal line stand, stopping Cam Newton short of the goal line, 35-30. As time expired, that's the final score for the Patriots. Russell Wilson, 5 touchdowns in the win. The Cowboys stunned the Falcons, converting on an onside kick with the Greg Zuerlein 46-yard field goal to beat the Falcons 40-39. Dallas overcame 4 fumbles and overcame a 20-point deficit for Mike McCarthy's first win in the franchise. And Tennessee checked in at number 16 and number 21 in the AP and coaches poll here in this week's national rankings. Tennessee Lottery is proud to have raised more than $5.5 billion for education in Tennessee. Pete Michaels Traffic coming up next. Good morning. I'm Eric Kane.
You're inside the starting lineup with Tyler Ivins and Will West on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Six five six 9900. 1-866-656-9900. Tyler Ivins, Will West. You know, so far this year, guys, we've seen a lot of changes to different sports. Whether it's been The designated hitter rule, the implement of a unique extra inning rule in baseball, you know, just things that have been controversial and been topics for many years, baseball implemented them. You look on the NFL side of things, pulling back on the games played during the preseason. What can they do to adjust things maybe from 4 to 2? And we, obviously, for COVID reasons, got no preseason, but may or may not be leading to a lot of the injuries that are occurring in the National Football League right now. Another popular topic comes in college football, guys, where people are already clamoring and screaming of, hey, we have to expand from a 4-team college football playoff to an 8-team college football playoff. And, you know, gentlemen, I'm just kind of looking at how things are going to play out this year with the Big Ten Conference only playing 8 games, SEC only getting 10 in, and there's a lot of worry that perhaps maybe criterias won't be met for certain teams to get into the playoff just based on how their leagues and their conferences are handling things. Boys, I'm not wanting to set a motion that might come back to bite teams and players and fans down the line, but in a year where COVID's been so interesting and new sports are having to try new things to keep things interesting or to kind of help out other teams, Will, would this not be the year that you would, at least for right now, I understand there's a contract, I understand that they have an agreement in place that there's only 4 teams allowed in the playoff, but if there's any year that you kind of let this test balloon go and try to get more teams into a playoff, would this year not be the year to try to do that, to try to make sure that each team that should apply, winning percentage or whatever, big game wins, should they not be put into the playoff? I think if there's any year to try it, this might be it.
Well, I mean, you can do it because of the contracts. I also wouldn't put the I see your point, right? I would rather do – I feel better about the situation with another round of playoff games than I would about having four bowl games, right?
Sure.
Because especially bowl games that don't make a ton of money, and so they're going to be looking to cut corners, things like that. I agree with you completely that logistically the best thing you could do would be to expand the playoff and play everybody in. Now, could you use the bowl games that are currently there to get you into the playoff? Possibly, but you'd have to get college football's bowl commission to sign off on that. But I don't think that would be necessarily a bad thing if you put more money into it. You have better safety protocols. You have better COVID protocols. Let's see what it looks like. For me, I look at it this way. Let's get there. Like, let's just get to that destination, because there is a grave concern that once we get into November and we get into December and you have combination COVID, flu, that it's going to be ugly this fall. So we'll see. I just want to get there. Logistically, I agree with your point. I would rather have, rather than the New Orleans Bowl, I would rather have another round of the playoff, of course. To me, 16 is the perfect number for the playoff. It was in the FCS. I think it would be in the FBS as well. I don't know how they implement it this year unless they use the established bowls already to make it a larger playoff. But I do think in a year where we're fighting for amateurism anyway, you were before Congress last week, the NCAA was, you're getting the guy who's the chairperson of the board or of the group that of Congress people that the committee in Congress that was speaking to them, going off about how if you're going to make money off players, you need to pump it back into the school, not into coaches'
right.
pockets. You're getting blown up in college football. I don't know that it's the wisest decision right now to say, let's make these kids play one more game. Now, I would understand it because I would say you're punting on amateurism anyway by playing, so why not go ahead and get your money's worth? But I do think it's going to make your argument even tougher when this does finally go to court, if you add another round of games in without really having had a conversation or negotiating that with the players.
You do realize somebody is, and I get it, every year somebody has a case. Everybody screams, they squall. My team is the reason why they should be put here and they're left out. There's always some type of argument to be made. But if there's any year, Will, where somebody's going to have a case and they're going to gripe about it, it's going to be in 2020. So how do you avoid that from happening? Easy answer, go undefeated. Win your conference, you're going to get a place in the 4-team playoff. But there's going to be some team, and there's going to be a constant SEC bias conversation to be had. I just feel like if there's any year that you want to try to remove all controversy as best as possible, do it in a year where there's going to be the most controversy set at the end of the year, because it's going to happen, and it's likely going to be a team like from the Big Ten, or having that argument of why the Big Ten's 8-game schedule is not better than a 1-loss 10-game schedule in the SEC, because Georgia, Florida, Alabama and a one-loss SEC West team, they're certainly going to have a case to be made than, say, an Ohio State or somebody else who goes undefeated in another conference.
Let me get, because of the way that it all plays out with the different teams playing each other this year in the SEC, let me give you what I think is the most likely scenario.
Please.
One-loss Ohio State, Big Ten champ, played 8 games. Georgia played 10 games, but they have 2 losses. Who do you put in? That to me is the one. Now, when it comes to this argument, I think expanding the playoff adds more teams that feel like they get left out. And I think that's a good thing because I think that means, you know, at the end of the day, one, control your business. But I think it means that more games were compelling. But if we're talking about just a 4-team playoff this year, that's going to be the most compelling argument. Is it one loss Big Ten team or 2-loss SEC team? Which do you take?
I mean, right now, obviously, you would take the 1-loss Big Ten team because they own the championship. The only question I would be is, does that 10-game schedule become an 11-game? So let's say the championship games are taken into consideration. That would be the ninth win, or there'd be a ninth game for the Big Ten team who won the title and got in, or an 11th game against the loser of the Atlanta game. Like, I'm trying to take Georgia into consideration here. Let's say that they lose to Florida in the cocktail party but find a way to still represent the East. Then they get that second loss against Bama in the title game. Ohio State could be 8-1, win that ninth game in Indianapolis for the Big Ten championship. Georgia could finish the year 9-2, both losses coming to however it plays out, but they were in Atlanta. It's just going to be difficult for me to look at Georgia and go, yeah, you got one more loss than Ohio State, but yeah, you did play 2 more games than they did.
Yeah, that's the key. And or if you lose to Georgia or to Bama in the regular season, close, and you lose to Bama in the SEC championship game,
there you
close.
Go.
Like, so if both of them were close. Now, to me, I would look at it and say, if the whole season's a playoff, you've been eliminated. You lost twice to that team. I know you're not better than Bama. I saw you play twice. So that's how I would do it. This is about finding the best team. Clearly, you ain't it. So that's what I would do with it. But as I would put the one-loss conference champ in. But I would put all 4 – like, I would put Power 5 – for me, the best way to do this long-term is to expand the playoff. Put the all 5 power conference champions in, let them play it out, and then throw at large teams in, seed it however you need to seed it, and then like play it out from there. I'd love to see them go to an 18 playoff. It will be here in the next 6 or 7 years, I do believe,
right.
Maybe 5, but I don't think that there's no way to get it done now realistically, and this year it would also be tough to add to the argument, hey, we don't know if it's safe to play this year, but go ahead and play one more round of games. That's going to be a tough sell right now to college presidents, I think.
You know, I just – look, I don't have a crystal ball, so saying I can predict what's going to happen isn't fair. But, Will, it's going to be December, and a conference is going to try to cram in as many games as possible to try to be the prettiest girl at the ball, and their conference is going to have a team that's left out, and it's going to have a legitimate argument. And then there's just going to be an entire backlash of why did we even rush? Why did we even take chance with COVID to try to get into the playoff to get that money and that recognition? And it was kind of all for naught. That's why I just feel like if there's any year to kind of give this a test, it needs to be now.
Well, so we did this. Well, this is why 4 was not the right number, and it never was the right number. We did this when they went to the 4-team playoff, and we've done this a number of times. Josh and I did it a ton. If you go through the BCS, from the years the BCS were there,
sure.
Only in half of years did the team that a team that would have been fifth in the rankings in the BCS not have an equal argument to the team that was 4th. Only in half of years. So every other year you had a team that said, now wait a minute, our resume is almost identical. Why are we not there? Why is the eyeball test the thing that gets this team in over our team? Because 4 is the wrong number, and 4 always was the wrong number. Now, baby steps, you had to dip your toe in the water, you had to make sure that the Rose Bowl got patted on the head and all that stuff,
yeah.
And everybody
yeah.
was happy there. That's the reason we're at 4 right now, but they will go to 8. They will go to 16 because what it does is, look, 4 playoff teams meant more games throughout the season become compelling and matter. 8 will mean even more matter. 16 will mean even more matter. But it will also mean there's even more controversy of who gets left out because once we start talking about one-loss teams getting in, there are a lot of one-loss teams that are out there, or 2-loss teams that played in the SEC versus 1-loss team that played in the ACC, which is Clemson and a bunch of trash. So it's you start having those debates even more, but to me those things are good for college football, not necessarily bad. This, to me, is the year where I think it's less likely that we have somebody that's worthy of that's a fifth place team that probably could have been in the top four and they're just losing out because of the eyeball test. I think it's less likely this year because the Big 12 is trash outside of Oklahoma. Maybe Texas, we'll see. The Big 10's good. The Big 10 East is good. And the SEC's good. And Clemson's good. Everybody else kind of, and Oklahoma's good. Everybody else sucks. So I do think we're probably less likely this year to have a fifth or sixth place team that has an equal argument to getting into the playoff over the fourth place team.
That was at Will West WNML, at Tyler Ivins, and at TSL 99.1. Start, bench, cut. A couple more things to get to before 9 a.m. right here on 99.1. You're listening to the Esports Animal.
Hey, this is VFL Joshua Dobbs, and we're counting it down. It's just
5 days until
it's football time in Tennessee.
This Sports Radio WNML countdown to kickoff is brought to you by Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Find out more at tvacreditunion.com.
Go on!
Intentions. 656-9900. Also at 1-866-656-9900.
So please tell me you saw the Chargers game, Chiefs game yesterday, or at least the play with Justin Herbert, where a quarterback knocked a linebacker on, like from a boxing parlance, that would have been unconscious.
I watched actually every snap of that game, and I know exactly what you're talking about. And to go back to a comment you made in hour number one, just to continue with this, I think Justin Herbert looked fantastic. And Anthony Lynn, let's be real. I know you said Tyrod Taylor's job is safe when he comes back. That's a guy who I think officially took over the Chargers starting job yesterday with his performance. And it didn't help that he also could knock over linebackers as well.
Yeah, it was. And if you didn't see the play, Herbert's running to the right sideline, scrambling, just trying to pick up some yardage on a play that didn't work out. Linebacker runs over to hit him, launches himself, hits him with his helmet into Herbert's shoulder pad, and gets spun around helicopter, lands to the ground with his body limp, and the Chargers medicals, it's on the Chargers sideline.
Yeah.
The Chargers medical staff ran directly to him because that dude was knocked out. And then he gets up, and he's wobbly, and it was, I mean, no referee would allow that fight to continue in the UFC or boxing. I have never seen that before. Look, Cam's a big dude. Andrew Luck was a big dude. I've never seen them knock out a linebacker. Justin Herbert knocked out a linebacker yesterday. That is wild.
Had you told me he was going to be the next rookie to make a start this year after Burrow, I would have said I'd put him third on that list because I thought Tua would have a real shot in Miami. But I can tell you right now, a lot of people were maybe concerned that it wasn't time to let Rivers go and that perhaps maybe Herbert should have been a second or third option because there could have been other areas for the Chargers to fill the void in the first 10 picks last year. I think Justin Herbert's going to end up being something very, very special. And there are a lot of people out there, of course, who look at just where Oregon quarterbacks have been the last couple of years and just said, are we ready to maybe potentially talk about a bust? Now, granted, it's one game. It's one play. It was a nice play against a division rival. Justin Herbert looks like just his intelligence and everything, size, attributes, as you've pointed out, he could be something special, and maybe the Chargers were onto something moving on from Phillip Rivers.
And here's the thing that Herbert did yesterday. One, it's like Josh Allen, faster, bigger, more accurate.
Sure.
Two, he just put the ball up for his players to go make plays. He put the ball up in man coverage for Keenan Allen. He put the ball up in man coverage for Hunter Henry. They did a lot of things getting Austin Ekeler back involved in the passing game, which is something that they didn't do enough, frankly, the last half of last year and during week one of this season. And you're paying dudes. Let them go make plays for you. And I thought that was something that Herbert did well. He is very accurate downfield. Let's see where he is on some of the underneath stuff as the season goes along. But, man, he looked like he's ready to go ahead and play now. If we remember, if Herbert comes out after his junior year, Herbert's the top five pick, maybe even the number one pick.
Yeah.
Instead, it ends up he goes back to school, looks like he gets shown up a little bit behind, you know, with the trash offense around him, and he doesn't look that great at times. So, in the NFL, though, I think he's got the arm for it. He's got to take something off those little short passes because even on these little dink-and-dunk passes, he's just trying to break people's fingers with it every single time. So, he's got to learn touch. He doesn't know touch yet, but man, it's sad for Tyrod Taylor. He finally gets his shot as the starting quarterback again. And if you didn't hear, he had chest pains right after the coin toss and had to be taken to the hospital. So, I mean, it's a tough way to lose your starting job, but that dude's lost his starting job.
Start, bench, cut now here on TSL.
How do you rank them? It's time for Mary... Oops. The FCC says we can't do it that way. Let's play Start, Bench, or Cut on the starting lineup. Powered by Heritage Realty, locally owned and operated with over 50 years of experience in the Knoxville market, where today's technology meets traditional customer service. Heritage Realty.
All right, gentlemen, Steal Their Talents, a birthday edition.
Yeah, I love these.
Singing skills of Jason Derulo, 31 years old. Acting skills of Bill Murray, or the writing skills of Stephen King, 73.
How old's Bill Murray going to be?
70.
Whew. Bill Murray, all right, for so you Oscar start performance in Space Jam.
You start the writing skills of Stephen King. He's that good. Like, Stephen King can write anything, anytime, anywhere. It's weird that he's decided to go into horror genre. He did a book called On Writing that is just magnificent, that if you're a writer or someone that's an aspiring writer, you should totally read that. Bench the acting skills of Bill Murray. I'd never heard Jason Derulo do anything, so, because I'm not a 17-year-old girl. So I will cut Jason Derulo.
I'm a 34-year-old man, and I'm very impressed with Jason Derulo. I'll have you know that. I'll have you know.
Where are you that... at that you would hear Jason? Look, here's the thing.
Everywhere.
If you're somewhere where you've heard Jason Derulo's music, you need to reevaluate where you're at, right?
Like, everywhere.
At that point, that place is done.
The other day, I was actually in a building in downtown Knoxville, riding the elevator, and I'm pretty sure all I heard was, Jason Derulo. And I'm like, oh, hey, look, it's Jason Derulo.
And see, you've got to cancel that meeting and say, sorry, you have to choose a better location to have this meeting. I'm out.
So when the elevator doors open up, all you hear is, I'm riding solo. And I'm like, that's a good song. It's a good song.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah. Okay. The correct answer is you start Stephen King, you're benching Bill Murray, and you're cutting Jason Derulo. But hey, come on, man. Jason Derulo dances like Michael Jackson, and he's... guy's a talented guy.
Most likely NBA Finals matchup. Start, bench, cut, Lakers and Heat. Lakers and Celtics. Nuggets and Heat.
I'm starting Lakers and Celtics. I don't care.
Ooh.
Boston's coming back and winning this series.
Boston, outside of the third quarter, Boston outplayed the Heat in all three games. Now the third quarter matters. And therefore, that's why the Heat are up 2-1 right
now.
Does
it now?
Oh, man, have we learned. But it's not as if that's not something that's not an unfair thing to say, Ivins.
Will, you missed it Friday when you were on vacay. I told Kaner, no matter what happens, both of these series are going six. Celtics win in six. Lakers win in six. So I'll start the Lakers-Celtics. I'll bench the Lakers-Heat. I'll cut any other thing that's involved in this question. But both of these series will go six. I'm telling you, it will.
I will start the Lakers Heat. I will bench the Lakers Celtics. I will cut the Nuggets Heat exactly like you read it, Kaner.
It's all three of these wide receivers' birthdays today. So start, bench, cut. Dwayne Bowe, Doug Baldwin, Greg Jennings.
All of which you at one point in time have been on my fantasy team. And they all are all very, very, very good. They were. Especially Dwayne.
If I tried to Dwayne Bowe, he got hurt. That was like the... Like, I used to have friends that were Chiefs fans, and I would just be like, I'm going to draft Dwayne Bowe if you don't pay me $20 right now.
But here's the thing, man. Dwayne Bowe was so good when it came to some of those special teams, all-purpose yards, too. That's why I always had him on my team. But when you come in, the clutch factor, I'm starting Jennings, I'm benching Baldwin, and I'm cutting Dwayne Bowe. Again, Dwayne Bowe, as I like to say, over and over again, like Chris Berman, over Dwayne Bowe every time he catches it. Solid player, but Baldwin was huge in red zone targets, and then Greg Jennings could just do everything in that Packers offense.
I think that's the right order. I do think Bowe was the better wide receiver than Baldwin. I think the injuries played into it with Bowe, not that Baldwin didn't have his own fair share. And red zone, end zone, not in a system that's conducive to putting up big yardage in a passing game for the most part at times. Baldwin, so I start Jennings, bench Baldwin, cut Dwayne Bowe.
Best NFL team to start 2-0, Ravens, Chiefs, Seahawks.
Start the Ravens, bench the Seahawks, cut the Chiefs right now. Am I wrong?
That's it. That's okay. It. No, I was like, there's no way he's gonna bench the Seahawks, sir. That's absolutely the right order. The Chiefs yesterday did not look strong. And the Chargers almost got. It got close. It was close. It was close. That's why you're cutting the Chiefs right now. Seahawks. I'm going to be real. Even though they had the ball on the 1 yard line, Cam Newton running the football, I knew he wasn't getting in. I understand they hadn't stopped it all day, and Collinsworth was trying to hype up that final play. Haven't stopped it all day. Let's see if they can do it now. I turned to the guy I was watching the game with, and I went, they're going to stop him. I promise you he's not going to get in the end zone. And wouldn't you know it, Trip, pal, ball game, Seattle wins.
Today is comedian and Full House star Dave Collier's 61st birthday.
Nice.
Starbench cuts Uncle Jesse, Uncle Joey, or Danny Tanner.
Listen, Danny Tanner was a horrible father, always leaving his brothers to have to always watch the kids. Okay?
Wow. Single dad, man. Wow. What's your story? You knew that both of them are brothers?
You know what I mean, all right? I had an Aunt Kim growing up who used to take me out to Baskin-Robbins all the time, and really it was just to tell me the adult stories my parents were uncomfortable with sharing with me. But Uncle Jesse, Uncle, all the uncles in the house, you're starting Jesse and everybody else. To me, it's still Uncle Jesse. He will knit you a scarf on a Geico commercial that you'll love.
But Ivan, you never watched Full House, right? I feel like we've had this conversation before. You never really watched.
No. I watched Full House.
Okay.
Ivan's cut it out. It is you start. Uncle Joey, you're benching Danny Tanner. No. You're cutting Uncle Jesse.
No.
What do I need a guy like leather vest and a mullet? No, I'm good.
Listen, the correct answer is you start Danny Tanner. You bench Uncle Jesse. You cut Joey.
You're cutting Joey.
It's tough, man. It's tough, but I gotta cut Joey. Uncle
not
Jesse
every man
had that,
can rock rayon pleated pants. You know what I mean? And Uncle Joey did.
I don't need Uncle Joey making different voices and telling Kimmy to get out of the house every time she walked in. You know, maybe if Danny Tanner wasn't too busy worrying about his next date he was going on, he'd spend more time with his daughters. You know, be better, man.
Wow, I don't. That's some unfair criticism there. Last
that is
one.
A very unfair criticism.
Yesterday was National Pepperoni Pizza Day. Starbridge got pepperoni pizza, sausage pizza, cheese pizza. I mean, who's going to start cheese pizza?
I'm going to start cheese pizza.
The same guy says Danny Tanner's a bad dad. That's who says it.
You know what? I bet Danny Tanner loves cheese pizza. I bet he loves cheese pizza. While the sausage and pepperoni uncles are staying home just to watch the kids. I'll start pepperoni. I'll bench sausage. It's got to be Italian sausage, though. Don't give me this. Oh, try something new. Spicy Italian sausage cut cheese.
I'm going to start the sausage pizza, actually.
There's nothing wrong with that.
I'm going to bench the pepperoni pizza. I am going to cut the cheese pizza. I'm eating the cheese pizza, but you're not choosing the cheese pizza over having toppings on it.
This isn't one of those takes where they're just like, hey, Ralph Macchio's character in The Karate Kid was really the bully the whole time, and everybody tries to Barney, Stinson it and be like, yeah, Cobra Kai were the good guys the whole time. Danny Tanner is the third out of three when it comes to the main male influences on Full House. And if you go back and watch Full House, you'll quickly learn Danny Tanner ranks third. He takes the bronze medal, and he probably shouldn't even be on the Olympic platform to be.
You know that
honest.
Guy Skip Bayless that everybody says, oh, he just gets paid all this money to say stupid stuff he doesn't believe just to get a reaction? You know that guy
did Ivan just do that to us?
Ivan's? No. Is this Tyler Skip?
Did you just Bayless this?
No. Just say something?
Or the Skip Bayless Clay Travis where you just said something you don't believe to get a reaction?
Yeah. I'm going to tell you right now. That was one of the first things that I learned when I got into this industry. If you're a hot box that just says things you don't believe because either A, you didn't research before the show started, or you say something controversial just to get the phone lines to ring, you're not going to make it. So I'd rather do my research and actually stay behind the things I firmly believe, because we have intelligent listeners. And if I ever try to change my opinion on that down the line, like next year, if you ask the same question again, I'm like, Uncle Jesse, so great. Danny Tanner needs to be higher. The people out there listening keep receipts, and they'll be more than happy to call me
it's
out.
It's more embarrassing that you truly believe Danny Tanner's third in line, so I guess
that's fine. That's fine. There's a lot of things in our life that we have to defend.
He was a sports okay. also, man. Come on.
Wait, you know what? On the Uncle Jesse thing, Aunt Becky is a criminal. So there's also that we got to take into consideration.
Well, hang on.
But it's all like as we're grading this with like history as a judge, Aunt Becky's a criminal, so there's that.
It's okay. That's right. We really don't know what the future holds. So sometimes you just kind of have to write it out. Like, for example, I have a couple of ideas. I'm going to end up being a proprietor of a lot of things that are going to make me a millionaire in the next couple of years. You're not going to hold that against me whenever I'm a multimillionaire. We're all on our yachts together drinking champagne together. And I'll be like, hey, these are my bros. So don't hold that against me whenever all my great ideas I come up with during the day end up popping. By the way, I got a couple of dates on Shark Tank coming up, so don't make fun of me whenever I get on national television and they boo me out of the room, all right? Hey, Heritage Realty Knox is a website you need to visit. I didn't come up with that website. Other smart people did and will if they stop by now. A lot of help can be done there.
That's right. HeritageRealtyKnox.com, a boutique firm that focuses on you, the client, over the needs of the sales pipeline. They're especially incredible when it comes to property management.
treating your property as if it's their own, maximizing your investment value. That is Heritage Realty.
Like, for example, my first invention, I don't know why Nike hasn't come out with wedding shoes. Wedding shoes made by Nike.
They did at my wedding. What are you talking about, boys? You know what I mean?
Well, no, time out. Hang on, time out. That you were wearing some Bloodline awesome Jordans. Like, those are Jays. Those are beautiful. Those are awesome. More people need to do it. But if they're doing the penguin suit with the little square-toed, finite, buff-out black shoes, why can't Nike just make... Like, nobody wants a pair of rental penguin shoes to go with their suit. Like, every groomsman standing on the altar like, my feet are killing me. I've got to get out of these shoes. Why hasn't Nike come out with a wedding shoe? Like, something that's, like, black, nice, formal, goes with a suit.
What's your wedding count up to right now? How many weddings you've been in?
Right. If anybody would know how much it hurts to wear those shoes, it would be me. I've been in 17 weddings since I was 18.
Oh, you're so popular!
That's not what I'm getting
17
at.
17 weddings.
I'm simply stating.
Learn to use the word no, Ivins. That's the moral of that story.
I say no a lot, apparently.
You're like me in fantasy football leagues. I'm just like, sure, whatever, sure, okay. Sure.
I'll make you a deal. I'll stop saying yes to weddings the second my internet gets to a full three-hour radio program. How about that?
Never.
656-9900, 1-866-656-9900. Let's come back. Let's set the table. Ainge and Rice, top of the hour. The starting lineup, Tyler and Will. We say goodbye next on 99.1, the Sports Animal.
This is a Tennessee Education Lottery Sports Minute.
Snap, set, his kick on the way. Good! Gostkowski bombs it home, and the Titans lead by 3 with a minute 36 remaining.
Mike Keith on the call. Stephen Gostkowski drilled the game winner 49 yards away. Ryan Tannehill threw 4 touchdowns, and the Titans improved to 2-0 for the first time since 2008 with a 33-30 win over the Jaguars. Sunday Night Football saw the Seahawks make a goal line stand, stopping Cam Newton to preserve the 35-30 win over the Patriots as time expired. Russell Wilson, 5 touchdown passes in the victory. The Cowboys stunned the Falcons, converting on an onside kick with a Greg Zuerlein 46-yard field goal to beat the Falcons 40-39. Dallas overcame 4 fumbles and a 20-point deficit for Mike McCarthy's first win with the franchise. Other scores, Harrison Butker drilled a 58-yard field goal, 2 of them his latest in overtime as the Chiefs escaped the Chargers 23-20. Ravens blew past the Texans 33-16. Bucks downed the Panthers 31-17. The Steelers outlasted the Broncos 26-21. Green Bay ran wild with Aaron Jones to double at Detroit 42-21. Colts sought the Vikings 28-11. The Bills got by the Dolphins 31-28. San Francisco beat down the Jets 31-13. Rams pummeled the Eagles 37-19. The Bears defeated the Giants 17-13. And Arizona bullied the Washington football team 30-15. Tennessee Lottery proud to have raised $5.5 billion for education in Tennessee. Pete Michaels Traffic coming up next. I'm Eric Kane. Bye.
As a kid, his favorite bedtime story was the October 1967 edition of Sports Illustrated. Tyler Ivins in the starting lineup on 99.1, The Sports Animal.
Hey, Will, I can't believe Matt Ryan did it again yesterday. Just inexcusable play from Matt Ryan. The Falcons lose again. It's just awful. That what I just said is like saying Danny Tanner is an awful dad, because clearly that doesn't make sense what I just said. It wasn't Matt Ryan's fault the Falcons blew a 20-point lead. It's not Danny Tanner's fault, the situation that he was in. I mean, what is Tyler, what is he smoking this morning?
His wife died, man. What's he supposed to do? If you're just joining us, yes, Ivins did say that Danny Tanner was a bad father from Full House.
He's been pumping the chest segment during the break about it, too. It's just ridiculous.
So we put up the Twitter poll. 77% of respondents say no, Danny Tanner was not a bad father. 23% say yes.
I want to meet the 23% of the people. Like why? What's your why? Like, why?
Is it because he tucked his T-shirt into his shorts? Because I kind of feel that part of this.
Because he wore the white sneakers. I mean, I don't know.
He had the Danny Tanner lows, the Chef Curry threes. Is that what it was?
How many times did Danny Tanner tell Kimmy to get out of the house? All Kimmy wanted to do was just be friends with the daughters, who clearly needed other people in their life because their dad was never there.
He did allow Aunt Becky into his home, and she's a criminal. So we also have to take that into consideration.
All you're doing is just proving my point.
Okay, so quickly, Best quarterback in the NFL. I have been in an argument with my buddy DeShane about this for like 3 weeks because he claims that it's Russell Wilson. I still say that it's Patrick Mahomes. Short sample size with Wilson. Do you know what Russell Wilson's done on the year so far? He has 11 incomplete passes.
Correct.
He has 9 touchdown passes.
Correct.
He only has 2 more incomplete passes through 2 games than he does touchdown passes.
That is also
about
correct.
The dumbest thing I've ever seen. So right now, if we could go around the room quickly, best QB in the NFL, Mahomes or Wilson?
Pat Mahomes. I'm one of the biggest Russell Wilson homers in the world, but right now it's still Pat Mahomes. I'll tell you right now, Russell Wilson does not get an MVP vote this year. Then we need to really find out what the. And I'm not crying like LeBron James, like, "Oh, finished second in the MVP voting again."
That was embarrassing.
Yeah, exactly. There's legitimately a problem if Russell Wilson doesn't get a vote at year's end. By the way, just to let you know, your boy DeShane, I think he works for the same company that has my internet provider. Why don't you send that phone number on to me, DeShane's number, because I got some things I got to say about my internet connection today. All jokes aside, of course. We stop aside now. We're going to be handing things off to the Eric Ainge Show with Brian Rice. It's happening next here on 99.1. You're listening to The Sports Animal.